times and not so good times. In short, they have been beside us as we have lived our lives. This is Community Radio. In truth, KBOO is really us, all of us. Whether you donate $5 a year or $5,000, or just listen, KBOO is a collective community fabric woven together. It is something to celebrate, to treasure. Not just this year, but every year. It is something that every community deserves to have. This is the last day we have to make our goal of $20,000. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and thank you for your support of KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space, the musical, showing March 16th through March 31st on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee, Oregon. Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space is an original comedy musical featuring cheerleaders, rebellious youth, evil aliens, puppets, and fueled by the songs of the 80s. Again, that's Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space, the musical, showing March 16th through March 31st on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the Chapel Theater, 4107 Southeast Harrison Street in Milwaukee, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Hi, everybody. This is Lady Monte. We're coming in with another episode of Bread and Roses, the Feminist Radio Collective. I went out to the Pioneer Square yesterday for International Women's Day, where a strike rally was being held, and gathered content with some cohorts from the radio station, from Lighthouse Productions Art Collective, another collective I'm a member of here at the radio station. And we gathered a lot of street content from organizers of this movement, as well as supporters, and got a general shape of what's happening. So listen in. We got about 40 minutes of pre-recorded content to listen to. And in about the last 20 minutes of the hour, we will have a surprise guest co-host and some pretty interesting conversations. So stay tuned. I am your host, Lady Monte. Our collective brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m., and women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 39 years, making it the longest-running feminist radio show in the country. This airspace is here to be shared. So remember, this collective is open to new members. If you are a woman in body or spirit, we will help train and support you to be in front of the mic or behind the scenes. If you are interested, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You can also find us on KBOO's website, kboo.fm/Bread and Roses, or on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses Radio.
I just thought this is what happened to girls like me, black and brown girls who have no other way to put a roof over our heads. The kind of girls that nobody misses, the ones who have no one waiting for them at home. I literally lack the knowledge and experience to understand. I lack the vocabulary to talk about what really happened. And all of this begs a really serious question. What do we do when people use the wrong words to discuss sensitive issues? Do we meet them with patience and empathy? Are they invited in? Or do we cut them out of the discussion completely? When we choose control and righteousness, how are we complicit in the silencing of marginalized and vulnerable people? Despite our differences, I know that every single person here today values equity and social justice. It's truly inspiring the way you're all showing up, and I know there are easier choices to make. I just want to say that I see you.
I'm here because I'm really a fan of a new feminism, which is an anti-fascist and an anti-capitalist feminism, because that's the only kind of feminism that's going to work. This morning, I spoke at the ACLU. I'm one of the people that they filed cases on. We're suing the city for the brutal treatment of PPB, of the citizens of Portland when we raise our voices.
You're talking about the arrests made on February 20th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your name, please?
Peggy Zabreski.
Peggy Zabreski, it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
My name is Lady Monte. This will be on Bread and Roses Collective. What else would you like to say on the radio?
So I want people to get back out.
Yeah.
We've let the cops make us afraid. We've got to stop that. We've got to get out there and put our bodies on the line. You know, I've heard many, you know, of our podcast commentators of the radical stripe tell us that right now we don't have any of the house of government, and we have to use our feet to make change. The women who led the teachers in West Virginia, that's showing us, right? If we all get out and don't do the man's good work for him, we can take it. We can take it back.
Well, you hit upon a very important theme in protesting, showing us what a mobilized population looks like. What effects do you foresee of a showing up creating a ripple effect? What effects do you foresee of more people coming out? What do you think is the importance of having your body in the streets rather than supporting a cause intellectually?
Yeah. I mean, and there are attacks, right, every day. You wake up in the morning, you read the news, you listen to Democracy Now!, and you get a stomachache, right? But what we got to do is every day find the issue that we're interested in, get out, whether it's the homeless or housing or... for me, a main thing is the treatment of black people in this country. I had some issues at the beginning of this horrible year where people were saying, oh, what we've got to work on is just resistance. We can't go for going ahead. No, we have to push for going ahead. We have to push for an end to police brutality, an end to the prison industrial complex and the courts and the judges and the way things are.
Disarm the police.
Yeah, disarm the police.
Demilitarize our security.
Well, disband the police. I love Chelsea Manning. She said, disarm the, disband the police, let all the prisoners out of jail. That's what we need to see.
Y'all hear the ACLU is suing the city of Portland for the February 20th arrest at the Not My President's Day protest.
Wow. Okay.
This happened an hour ago.
As a word of warning to our listeners out there, I want to make you aware that we're about to play some audio captured from that February 20th protest on Not My President's Day protest. There is some violent sounds captured, the background noises of police brutality and somebody being injured by those actions. So if you are sensitive to this content and material subject matter, please take care of yourself before listening further.
You get your jollies of shoving women around, big man? Huh? Yeah, you! The deaf one! That's real impressive!
This is
brutal!
And that was audio from a video captured by the ACLU of Oregon Legal Observer on February 20th at that protest of Margaret, aka Peggy Zabrowski's mistreatment, who we heard from earlier in this episode. The ACLU website and their video says that Peggy was knocked down, dragged to the street, pinned down, knee to the head from a cop, as well sustained a broken nose. There's more information about Peggy's injuries and their court case on the ACLU website. In a statement regarding the Romine Mann v. Portland case, the ACLU has this to say on their website. On February 20th, 2017, while gathered in front of the Edith Wyatt Federal Building for the Not My President's Day protest, Charles Stubbs, Tristan Romine Mann, and Margaret, aka Peggy Zabrowski, were each subjected to excessive use of force by the police. Tristan was pushed to the ground and hit with a police bicycle repeatedly. He was forced to his knees and restrained before a Portland police officer pepper sprayed him directly in the face at close range. Tristan is suing the city for up to $10,000 and costs. As a part of Tristan's statement, they acknowledge our presence on stolen land of the Kalapoya people, and they say, among other things, that they identify as an activist and community organizer with the OPAL Environmental Justice. Later on in their statement, they say, quote,
I am participating in this lawsuit against the City of Portland to hold the Portland Police Bureau accountable for the conduct of its officers and to correct the disturbing trends of militarization of police and suppression of civil liberties in Oregon and nationwide. I am extraordinarily grateful to the ACLU for their support and counsel throughout the past several months. Additionally, on all days but International Women's Day in particular, it's extremely important to highlight the integral role women play in social justice work. Several individuals I would like to personally thank are my correspondents with the ACLU, Sarah Inowski and Sarah Armstrong, for their patience and expertise, my fellow plaintiffs Peggy, Kat, Kelly, and Patricia for showing up and holding space, and especially Teresa Rayford of Don't Shoot PDX for being a tireless, invincible advocate, along with countless other adored ones leading movements for justice and equality worldwide, end quote. The attorneys assigned to this case are Lindsay L. Reynolds and Stephen M. Wilker, represented by the pro bono law firm Tonkin Torp. This is an active case in the Multnomah County Circuit Court. The case number is 18CV08263. That is 18C as in Charlie, V as in Victor, 08263. Feel free to go on to the Multnomah County Circuit Information Systems or on the ACLU website, aclu-or.org, to find more information.
My colleague and friend Koya Crispin, and she's a great tenant organizer, and she's seen women of color, immigrant women, undocumented women lead the struggle to keep their communities housed in the city. So make some noise for Koya, please.
I'm gonna read off a paper, something I wrote last night. Here, all the building leaders that I work with are women and women of color. I don't know if you guys heard that. Here, all the women that I work with, the building leaders, are women of color. These women are organizing power, women organizing money. These are the two tools we need to win this battle. We are at the forefront of this work, only to be forgotten by a history that favors patriarchy. We will never overcome the system of oppression if we don't ensure the most impacted voices leading this movement. Without the leadership of women of color, we will never win this battle.
True.
My grandmother used to say to us kids, if you always take it on the chin, nothing will ever change. The status quo is dead, been dead. Our upcoming generation of daughters depend on us to ensure that this happens. I ask my daughter, what does social justice mean? And she looks at me for a minute, maybe to see if there's a right or wrong answer. So I just give her a little smile. She knows there's no pressure. And she says, social justice means having soulmates. And I said, sure, you're right, baby. We're soulmates in this movement together. I like that. Transforming social norms and traditional practices that harm or discriminate against our young girls is a key part of our work as organizers in our community. If our daughters are protected, cared for, and participate in this movement, they are more able to benefit from a system that they themselves have helped shape. A system of better health, education, and economic development.
My name is Mariana. I'm from Gabriella, Portland.
Thank you so much for being here today. Can you describe to us what your intention is with being at this gathering?
Well, Gabriella is part of an international organization based in the Philippines fighting for the liberation of Filipino women, and it is deeply connected to the liberation of all women all over the world, and for International Women's Day, we are definitely part of that story.
Absolutely, and as far as finding more information about your movement, is there a web location? Where can people find more information to support your cause?
Right, you can find us at www.gabriellaportland.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hi, how are you?
are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I haven't seen you forever.
I'm so happy to see you.
So we are collecting content for Bread and Roses on KBLO-FM. It'll be airing tomorrow.
Okay.
And can you introduce yourself on the microphone, please?
Yes. My name is Marielle, or Ellie Eaton.
And you have been an activist organizer in this city for quite some time. Can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Yeah. It's been a long road. I've been doing work in Portland. I've lived here for 13 years. I started about 12 years ago, but for a long time went along kind of clueless and went along with a lot of some of the lessons that I grew up with as a white woman, and so took a long time to kind of hone in on the various causes that I now have near and dear to my heart. And that started off working with Raphael House of Portland, doing work with the teen program as well as in shelter, and from there started doing work with Friends of Seasonal and Service Workers, and kind of have, I'd say, label myself kind of as an activist that works primarily with sexual and relationship violence prevention and advocacy. I've built curriculum around that.
But you're down for the cause, basically.
Down for the cause, yes. Sorry, I could go on for volumes.
We could talk about our weekends all day long.
Volumes forever, yes, yes, yes.
So what brought you to this particular protest today? Can you describe to us what, if there a particular intention, specific intention for this movement, for this organization?
Yeah, I'm starting to get more involved, socialist alternative at PSU, and basically the belief is that we all need to band together against capitalism.
Okay, why is that important? What is damaging about capitalism to a womanist movement or a feminist movement as we understand it now?
Yeah, so globally we see that women specifically, but people from all various backgrounds who describe themselves as poor and working class, we are the backbone of what props capitalism up. And this, of course, disproportionately affects women and people in feminized bodies. So in order to have a world that is just, we have to fight capitalism directly, because the system cannot survive without the blood, sweat, tears, and suffering of people.
How do you personally fight capitalism in your day-to-day movements, going about your regular life as well as an activist by trade and profession?
So as an activist, I put intersectional feminism as well as anti-capitalism in the center of everything that I do. The organizations that I'm interested in working with, the ones that I've left or the ones that I've moved from, are often because there's not enough of that central to what they do day to day. As a person, you know, activism is my day-to-day life, but it's what I consume, it's what I decide to do as far as a worker goes, what I draw my own personal lines with, or when I've had people come to me and question about certain things that are going on in their workplace, kind of discussing with them the options that they have.
Okay, so making conscious decisions with the understanding of capitalism and how it works.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you so much. And what have you got planned for the rest of this day?
Well, I have some chronic health issues, so part of my night is going to be resting after this.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go to my parents' house and spend a little downtime.
Sounds great. Happy International Women's Day.
You as well.
Thanks, Ellie.
And there are trans sisters, our black sisters, our immigrant sisters, our Muslim sisters. And as you move forward, make sure that white cis feminism isn't your threshold. We're not striving to simply become CEOs and take the place of the gateholders that happen to be cishet white men. We're striving to be past that. We're striving for every single woman in this world to have her choices, right? That's what it's about. And so, as we move forward, again, no pussy hacks, right? Not everybody has a pink pussy, right?
Right?
Right? Yeah, you can cheer, because it's true. You know? Wild how that is. And also, not every woman has a
pussy!
Right, you got it. Awesome.
I want to introduce my co-host, my partner, the person that helps me to do everything. This is Olivia Pace from Socialist Alternative. Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Olivia Pace. I'm a member of Socialist Alternative, and I work with SOCHI Portland. In Socialist Alternative, we are trying to wage a struggle to dismantle this evil capitalist system that exploits all of us.
Yeah, good. But the reason we're out here today, even though in this country right now, the capacity for unions to have general strike, the capacity for workers to really stand up to their bosses is very low. The reason we're out here today, despite that, is to say that women and people in feminized bodies labor, our labor, is the backbone of this society. Historically, right, we go home, we take care of your children, we cook your food, we do all of the things that make the society work. This work is not inconsequential, but it has been pushed onto women through this capitalist system, through neoliberalism that says, you take care of yourself, your family, and then you go to work and you toil and you make the money for the 1% of the top, when they should be supporting us because we make the society work. And so, if there's one thing that I would want you to take away from today, is even though our capacity right now as workers is lower than we would like it, go back to your workplaces and think critically about how much you're being paid, how you're being treated, if what you're getting is good enough, even if you have a job that you consider good. Our standards for how we should be treated under capitalism, for how we should be compensated for our work, for the value of our labor, is so low. We are taught that just having a job, having some kind of penance from the 1% is enough. It is not enough. So take away from today, join your union. If you don't have a union at your workplace, talk to the people in your workplace. Figure out what can be given to you. Figure out how much your labor is worth and how much you should be valued in your workplace.
Would be passing the Family Act. This bill would provide 12 to 18 weeks of paid family medical leave. That's to care for a new baby, a sick family member, be with someone at the end of their life, and it covers both biological and chosen family members. It even covers yourself if you were dealing with serious illness. This bill sets up an insurance fund paid by employers and employees equally at 0.5%. It's not the most progressive bill, but it is a step in the right direction towards recognizing caregiving. As long as we keep pressure on our legislators in Oregon, we do believe it will pass in the next session. If this is important to you, please find out how you can help this bill pass by visiting timefororegon.org or familyforwardaction.org, or you can come talk to me about it at any time and I'll help you get involved. Thank you.
And we're going to take a quick music break. This is a cover of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance, Bad Romance, Women's Suffrage.
Isn't just the right of a man. You never saw. Yeah, you never saw. You know we don't want to take freedoms from you. Just want our rights and nothing less. We cry for freedom. Caught in a bad you're psycho, I think that it's sick. I'm queen of my home, raise my babies, that's it, don't need to vote.
No, no, she don't want to vote.
The rights of citizens shall not be denied or abridged by the United States on account of sex.
We cry for freedom.
We may just start greatness for the ages. Freedom, it is contagious. March, march, be courageous. Fighting for our rights. We may just start greatness for the ages. Remember the ladies.
Not to be above, but equal to all men. We only ask to be part of this union. Comme dirait le français, c'est démocratie. Permettez-moi participer. I'm a citizen of this nation.
And we are back with more content from participants of the March 8th International Women's Day strike that was held at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Our next speaker is Maria Garcia, running for County Commissioner in District 2. So if you can, make an election, vote for her, because she's going to change the city, and she has something to say to you today. All right, Maria.
Hola, buenas tardes. Yo quiero honrar mi madre lengua, que es el español hoy. Como la mujer que soy, mi madre lengua se merece respeto. Y si no lo entienden, es porque no han realmente crecido con la comunidad inmigrante. Si no hablan en español, si no lo entienden, es tiempo ahorita de que empecemos a cambiar. So a lot of you didn't probably understand, right, what I say. That's how we feel sometimes. When we speak to our representatives, when we speak to our brothers and sisters that are being whitewashed, and they're tokenizing us, is how we feel. You're not listening. I feel like you're speaking a different language. Yes, I do have an accent, but guess why? Because I am an immigrant. And my accent is telling you where I'm from. I'm from Mexico City. I know what it is to be undocumented. I know what it is to work a few three jobs. I know what it is not to be able to communicate what I really wanted to say in a courtroom and having legal representation that incorrectly translated what I say. I know what it is not to be the parent that I wanted to be. And I was 16 years old when I had my daughter. Since then, I'm not gonna tell you my age, but since then, I'm still young. It's been challenge after challenge after challenge, right? That's called life. And you know why? Because we have full lives. We are able to have problems and solve them. I learned that. I learned that we have to face our obstacles. I learned that even though sometimes we don't have the right translation, the right support, we don't have the money, we don't have much. But when you have dignity, when you have ethics, when you really feel in your heart that the life that they're giving us is destroying us, I'm tired. I'm tired, soy cansada. Es injusto. This is unfair. And we're not talking about standing with immigrants. I really mean it. I really mean it. My employee, one employee from El Salvador, Carmen. By the way, I have a restaurant a few weeks. A few weeks from here. Revolución Coffee House. Revolución Coffee House. My girl, my lady, Carmen, from El Salvador. Her brother was detained in Tijuana. It's a long story. They had to get him out from El Salvador because they fear for his life. And we make phone calls to different family members. I have a lot of cousins all over Mexico, even Chiapas, and you name it, calling people. Can you take care of this man? Can you take care of this man? Can you take care of this man? Yes. You know? We help him to go through the whole country. Then he gets detained. Now, he's in Texas. They need to raise $20,000 to get him out and continue with his legal process of asylum, right? Carmen had an accident on Christmas week, you know, when we have the snow. She broke her arm. So I'm campaigning, I'm taking care of my business, now I have to cook, now all these problems, one thing after another, one thing after another. I was feeling like I was getting a heart attack. Why? Because of the amount of pressure. You have ethics, when you care about somebody else, you know what, those things, you overcome them. You know how, you learn, it's where our strength is. In the very, very weakness time of your life is where your strength is. Right there. And right now, we're feeling weak. We're feeling weak because we're being attacked. For us, for immigrants, this is not new. We have experienced this in this very toxic political climate since long, long, long time. But I say it's time to change it, and it's up to us. And that's why I decided to put my body into this really, really hard adventure in life. Because this system is not built for us. Because every time I go to meet different unions, different organizations, every time I try to get an endorsement and I don't get them, I don't see color in those political communities. I don't see women, I don't see people of color. And that means that that has to change. Because they're not representing me. They're not representing Carmen, they're not representing anybody other than just a specific group of people. That has to change. So fight for us. And even with this accent, and even sometimes the words don't come out the way I want, because my heart speaks differently. And I want people to see that, I want them to see the value of who I am, what I do in the community. This sign was made outside my business. Don't shoot Portland. Because of that woman, right there, there is a paper. Because of her. Because of my sister, because of my hermana, Teresa, I am here. Somebody in city council told me, if you want to be here, you need to turn your back on activism. Why do I want to do that? You tell me, who put you there? We put you there.
And that was the speech you just heard from Maria Garcia. They are the business owner and proprietor of Revolution Coffee House in Portland. They're an immigrant woman, and they are also running for the Multnomah County Commissioner of District 2 on a nonpartisan platform. The other candidates for this position are Shashila Jayapal from the Democratic Party, Sharon Maxwell from the Democratic Party, and Bruce Broussard from a nonpartisan platform as well. We have extended outreach to these other candidates to come onto Bread and Roses as well to share the airtime. Hope to hear back from them soon. Interestingly, I was able to find one masculine-identified individual who was willing to speak on the microphone but wished to remain anonymous. This is what they had to say in regards to their presence at March 8th International Women's Day Workers' Strike.
Hey, how's it going today?
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad. I'm collecting content for a radio show I produce on KPLO. Do you mind making a comment?
Sure. I just got here. I'm not sure what exactly I could provide you, but I'll try.
Well, did you come here with the intention of attending this rally this March?
Yes.
Okay, so that's perfect. I'm wondering, do you mind sharing, do you identify in a masculine or feminine way?
Masculine.
Masculine? So what would inspire you to come to a women's march? I just want to know what that perspective looks like. What was your motivation for coming here today and supporting a women's movement?
Well, I'm a socialist, and I think that we need to eradicate both oppression and exploitation. And we can't do one without the other.
So can you articulate exactly how the women's rights for equality, inclusion, and liberation, how does that tie into your own personal liberation as a masculine-identified person?
Mm-hmm. In a number of ways. I would say first, probably on a personal level, psychologically, I don't think that myself as a masculine-identified person, or really anyone else, can have fully healthy psychological relationships with other people until all oppressions, including women's oppression, is dealt with. In a more wider economical manner, it must be confronted that the ruling classes divide us along gender lines, along homophobia, along transphobia, along racist lines, to pit us against each other so they can exploit all of us. That's not to say that, you know, all of us are exploited equally, but I don't think that we can end exploitation until we address these issues.
Because capitalism is a giant system for farming, basically. It's a giant commercial system. And so
yes,
the way things are divided right now along gender, along class, that's part of capitalism.
Yes.
And so you're here as a socialist, as an anti-capitalist movement, and that's tied in with the women's rights movement.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for your comment. We're just going to take another quick song break. This is a rendition of Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, but it's being sung about our Bill of Rights by a group of school children.
First Amendment states that if we can congregate, if we got stuff to say, we say it every day, and if we want to pray or publish a debate, that's totally okay. That's totally okay. And if we need to rise against a tyrant, Amendment number 2 states, we'll bear arms saying it's okay to fight. Cause our rights are really safe, 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 safe. Founding fathers made it great, 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 great. Gotta make them stay, 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 stay. Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. Even soldiers gotta leave, 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 leave. Next Amendment number 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Keeping us all free, 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 free. Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. Wanna come inside? I've got something to hide. Where's your warrant, please? Before you search and seize. Don't forget your legal rights.
Forget your legal rights.
And what it says in number 5. Don't have to say a word. In a trial you'll be heard. And in the 6 days we won't have a long wait. A biased jury thinks straight. State the crime, only bad guys do the time. Cause our rights are really safe, 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 safe. Coming fathers made it great, 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 great. Gotta make them stay, 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 stay. Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights.
Don't you worry about getting down and out or treated badly in a dirty, dirty old prison cell. You are protected by Amendment Number 8. All those rights that they did not say are like totally fine, cause Amendment Number 9 and all the laws that the states really wouldn't put in place won't ever be denied. That's a 10, 10, 10. Yeah. Cause our rights are really safe, 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 safe. Founding fathers made it great, 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 great. Gotta make them stay, 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 stay. Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. We use them every day, 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 day. Remember what they say, 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 say. We're 53 states, 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 states. Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. 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 Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights.
Thank you for listening to this pre-recorded part of our episode tonight. We're going to take another quick break and come back and be live in the studio with you. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We offer feminist public affairs programming. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity globally and locally. We strive to challenge systems of oppression, all this, and we have fun. Bread and Roses highlights the achievements of women artists, activists, athletes, scholars, and innovators. We always strive for programming excellence and collaborative efforts, providing access and training to women. So if you are a woman in body or spirit and feel your places on the airwaves, come find us and we'll hook it up. Hey everybody, it's Lady Monte. Thanks for listening to that production. I really enjoyed chopping it together for you, and I hope it was enlightening as well. I learned a lot, did some research myself, and provided a lot of breadcrumbs within that segment for you to follow as well. I encourage you to check out those websites. There were a couple of candidates listed. There were also a couple of speakers that are representing some really great movements and organizations. So I encourage you to go to those websites and do some research on the causes they're representing and the causes which were being spoken about at that strike. Interesting stuff. In the meanwhile, I got a couple of special friends in the house. Say hey, what's up?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
Hey. In the studio tonight, I got two friends of mine, Jazz and Spoken Verb.
Yo.
Yo. Here to We're here to talk about, since this is a feminist collective, we're gonna bring it back around to the feminist lens. But as I always want to get balance as a producer, as a journalist, so we got a more masculine leaning person in the air room to talk about your experience and how that relates into equality and liberation for everybody, women included. There was a segment of this show where I made a point to ask somebody in the crowd who was masculine identified, like, what are you doing here? Like, I mean, I know the good reasons that men should want to liberate women around them as part of a healthy society, but I'm always curious about other people's thought processes. So in case there's anybody out there wondering who's that person with the deep voice, that's the homie.
What's
and he's
up, homies?
Down with the cause.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So how you guys doing?
Yeah.
Doing good.
I'm gonna turn up some chill beats.
Do it.
I'm doing it right now.
Taylor, where you at?
What'd you guys think about that last track?
That was garbage.
Garbage.
Sorry. I don't like Taylor
I liked
Swift.
It. I thought it was a combination.
And then it's bouncy, but
rock
it ain't.
And
it's
Kids Bop.
Yeah.
Bill
Schoolhouse
F.
Rock and Kids Bop was exactly where I was at today too. It was.
Oh God.
I just couldn't get rid of it.
Oh man, sometimes you're stuck with it.
Hit you with the bop gun.
Yeah, hit you with the bop. So now we're easing into it. Got that lo-fi chill hip-hop sounds. Jazz, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself? Like, where do you hail from? What are you doing in the fair city of Portland? What's your day-to-day like?
Yeah, Jazz, what are you doing in Portland? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I mean, I lived in 32 states.
Oh, wow.
All the
moved,
states. No, that's
moved
not
here
all
with
the states.
My family, military family.
Okay.
It's definitely my favorite city.
Wow. You know,
I've moved around a lot as well, and for some reason I've not been able to put my finger on just yet, but I'm getting there. Portland also has like wormed its way into like my top three favorite cities. And it's definitely the first city I've ever lived in for longer than like 18 months and not wanted to like leave.
Yeah.
Like, what about this city makes it your favorite?
I think being queer definitely plays a part in it.
Okay.
Like the ability to be myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That makes a lot of sense. When I first got to Portland, I actually only came through Portland because I was working on an intersex advocacy project that was like nationwide, and I was doing a bunch of outreach, and so I was just rolling through at first, but it was the queer community which really kind of welcomed me with open arms and all the folds and billowy sequins that Portland has, you know, as part of that. And I was able to be held by that culture. So shouts out to queer culture in Portland. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let the sequins billow.
Beautiful.
We need to start writing a new national anthem involving that line. Long live Cascadia. Let the sequins billow.
Hashtag cough button.
Yeah. How did y'all? Oh Lordy, how did y'all celebrate International Women's Day yesterday?
I went home alone.
Oh. Okay.
I accidentally missed it.
Okay. Okay. So what I hear from there is, went home alone, respecting women's space.
Oh, I respect my own space.
And your own space, yeah. And you know, you're doing self-care, focusing on jazz. You know, that's a worthwhile cause, and that's, you know, that's a necessary cause. There was so much activity happening at Pioneer Square yesterday.
You get all this room for activities.
All these room for activities. There's bunk beds. There's a hot dog stand. No.
Hot dog stand.
I found myself actually feeling pretty grateful for
those hot dog stand for women's hot dog rights
stands,
there.
Yeah. I was happy to have like the headphones and the microphone as like part of my kit because it kept me in kind of a detached place from the rally because of all the activity. And it was hard, I think, to be there and absorb the situation and also participate in it at the same time. Self-care as part of advocacy, whether it looks like self-advocacy or advocacy for your community, is like an absolutely crucial component, I think, to success and viability of a movement. You got to do it sometimes, and you can't ignore the need either.
Well, no, I mean, you can't change the world unless you can change yourself first.
Yeah.
You know, self-revolution is more important than, you know, world revolution, even community revolution, because if you're not able to change your, you know, dark habits or whatever you want to call them, how are you going to expect to change the world? Because like everything you look at is like you're perceptive, and without being able to like change your own, you know, perspective, like how are you going to change other people's? You know, it's can't do it.
True. Yeah, I was thinking about that too, like how to inspire people to engage, like not just as a leader to a movement or a rabble rouser or whatever, but also getting
I can rouse
the rabbles with the best of them. But you know, beyond even removed from a collective experience, like inspiring others to engage with you kind of just looks like friendships, buddies, right? Like, because it is always going to be a give and take, two-way road. And how do you use your imagination to sort of entice someone else's imagination to see you as a friend, to see you as a confidant, to see you as a buddy? And it's one of those things that you just do, and you start thinking of nice things you can do for your pals or for your community and stuff like that. And for me, like that, it sort of builds up into a movement based out of love, and it starts from like self-love, like, oh, I need this company, I need this support, and quick, how can I maybe not solicit it, but how can I include myself in an image of community that includes everybody as well as myself.
I think the most important thing is that people need to be listened to.
Yeah.
To be a good listener.
Wow.
Is to invite others to engage with you.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like, just shut up. Just go away. You ain't got nothing to say. But yeah, I understand what you're saying with the whole community. Because like, we all have a voice. Mm. And every voice is important. But that doesn't always mean just because you got something to say, you should say it.
Mm.
You know, sometimes bite your tongue. Just, but at the same time, if you're like, if you're really hurting for like company, like that, like where it like pulls at your soul, like you should like voice that. Like you should let people know that, yeah. Hey, man, I need someone.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important. I mean, you know, but there's also a balance, you know, because
where did you, do you mind if I interrupt? Where did you learn that?
Life.
Yeah.
I've been through some horrible things.
Yeah.
And you don't, if you don't take the lesson from it, like you're just gonna keep repeating it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the best analogy I learned was like, okay, so you need something, say something, but if you don't need it that bad, don't say anything, because the squeaky wheel gets oiled, but the squeaky wheel also gets replaced.
Yeah. Oh,
that's heavy.
Yeah,
that's real.
That is real.
Squeak about the right things.
Yeah,
might be the lesson there.
I'm working for the squeaking.
Squeak when you mean it.
Squeak when you hit a pothole.
It's the squeaking weekend, baby.
It's the squeaking weekend, baby.
Kids bopping with Taylor Swift. It's the squeaking weekend.
Gosh. Oh man.
Bounce, bounce, bounce.
Hate is not going to hate. They're just going to hate.
Jazz, you got a cool story from your life? What's interesting? What's, tell us a little.
Let's hear a story.
Spin us a yarn. Spin us a yarn.
Don't spin us a yarn. Tell us the truth.
All right.
Just make it interesting.
Give me some context.
Okay. Well, we got a couple of topics written down here, but whatever. It's a list. So we were talking about films. We were talking about life and experiences of POC, lives and experiences of queer people and trans people. But it can be about anything. It can be like, what's the most Portland thing you saw? Or
God.
What's...
I have a good story.
Okay, cool.
You do have some cool stories.
We got That's 10 cool. minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You got 10
All
minutes?
Right. All right. We're going to listen to Jazz's story. Everybody.
All right. All this right. is Jazz. Y'all
so,
listen up.
The other day, me and Spoken Verb, we walked upon the Buddhist temple.
Ooh,
it's Hawthorne and 18th. And my buddy here placed some coins upon a shrine. And I wasn't exactly sure culturally what, I don't know, the protocol or gesture might be. What was the right thing to do? And so this old lady came out and I asked her about the proper way to give offerings to the temple. And she said, offerings come in many forms. And it's not about making offerings to the temple so much as it was making offerings to the world and the community. And so we sat and chatted for a long time. The lady I was talking to had really bad eyesight. And she was hanging these tassels underneath lanterns at the end of her day. And she's like, oh, some of the places that she wanted to hang things were broken. And she had one left in her hand and was about to walk back into the temple and was pretty sad that she couldn't find a place for it. And I called her back over and said, I think I found the place for you to hang the tassel. And so she gave me this really great exchange of information, sort of like after hours. Like at one point she said, don't be so shallow-minded. Like you don't really know what's going on here, but I'm going to explain it to you. And in exchange, like I so badly wanted to give an offering and felt pretty ignorant about how to do so. And it just worked out in the end.
What was your offering?
And she was super happy about it. It just made me feel full of community love.
Well, I mean, it was
a great experience.
I mean, I felt excluded from it, but I respect it because, like, I saw you guys were having your own thing. And
that's a moment. That's a special
totally
moment, you know, and that's,
I
think that's beautiful, the way you were held, you know what I mean? And like you approached in doubt and uncertainty and you finding a mutual need there, one for information and one for assistance. You know, you found a common bridge, a parallel there. And I think that's an amazing way to be held, is building bridges like that. Pretty cool.
I think it also ties into what you were saying about the community and how to reach out to people that you want to be a part of your movement, you want to feel included. I felt kind of intimidated by my lack of knowledge, and in walking up was so well approached, educated.
It was cool because we just kind of stumbled on that whole situation too, because we didn't plan on being there, and so all of a sudden, like, hey, it's the Buddhist temple. You know? So let's go, you know, pay our respects.
The fate of the day kind of played out.
It was totally
That's beautiful.
It was really, actually, it was really beautiful.
Right on. Very cool.
Because, I mean, I made my own, you know, tribute. I mean, coin. It's a coin. I mean, you know, but you need 2 pennies on your eyes to pay the fare to the, you know, the dude who's going to, like, you know, row you into the river of Styx and, like, the whole, like, Christian, like, belief. So coins are important.
Yeah.
Between lives. You know. Dude, dude. Hashtag cough button.
You're good. We all good.
What are these car wash coins?
Oh, those are, I mean, they're like Chuck E. Cheese coins.
Okay. But you know what, though? Currency. They're all Chuck E. Cheese coins at the end of the day. And if you're talking about placing a symbol of wealth on the statue of a deity.
No, it's not a symbol of wealth. It's a symbol of death to me.
Oh, currency?
Yes.
I see.
They're all slave owners.
Yep. So, but the car wash coins. Are the car wash coins what you put on the Buddha statue?
No, they weren't. They were not car wash coins. They were confused. Actual coins.
I got confused. So,
what's wrong with you?
No, I guess I just skipped a step.
That's cool. That's no, they weren't car wash coins. Trust me, I'd keep those. Those are actually worth something.
Well, it brings us back again. The only real wealth that we have is time, right?
The only real wealth we have is each other.
We're all paying into the bank anyway. We're going to die at the end of the day and cash in our investment of life.
What's wrong with that?
And so there's nothing wrong with that. That's how it is. It's time. It's natural decay and rebirth. Nothing wrong. And I think Buddha would have a lot of things to say about it too, which maybe he'd be smiling or laughing, Buddha, if he took, or they or whatever, took this symbolic
transgender
deity that's
non-binary Buddha.
took this like,
you
symbol
are.
Of death and materialism and translated it into that into that, you know, sort of ritual of,
what,
like,
I mean,
this is symbolic of your time being spent here. Maybe that's it, but I think that's still pretty, it's a nice gesture. And I think gestures and rituals in this world, in this existence, can totally help put you in a separate altered mind state, physical state as well.
Well, you know that, like, the Buddha was actually, like, wealthy.
Really?
Yeah. Prince Siddhartha. He was a prince. He came from, like, luxurious wealth, and he was sheltered his whole life. And one day he, like, went into, like, the courtyard, and there's, like, all these, like, poor people, homeless people, like, starving people. And he asked, like, why is there this imbalance when I've, like, lived so luxuriously and these people have nothing? And it changed his mental about the whole situation. And so that's why he started becoming the Buddha, and, like, he finally reached complete enlightenment through realizing there's a balance between the dark and the light, and he found that perfect path.
It's chaos, it's infinity, it's a continuum. I rocks with it.
Yeah, man.
Thank you both for being in here. Any final words before we fade out for the evening?
Just want to give a shout out to Jim Wilson.
Jim Wilson, right. My dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man, eat all the tacos.
Thank you. Thank you for your voices and your stories and your perspectives. You've really enriched a lot of people's lives tonight, and I hope you enjoyed being here.
Respect.
Thank you for having us.
Namaste.
Pleasure. This has been Lady Monte.
KBOO Portland.